Morning.
Hey, you remember back in the old days when you were in elementary school? And the first assignment almost every year, every fall, first day of school, teacher makes you write a paragraph on what you did last summer, summer vacation. Well, when it comes to summers, I had a great summer. And I found that after a year of doing chapel addresses, I found that everywhere I went, everything I did and saw and heard could potentially inspire a new chapel address. Everywhere I walked, it seemed like, or every softball game I played in or whatever, there was something that happened that could inspire a chapel address. A bee pollinating a flower could trigger a devotion about the wisdom and order of a loving Creator God. A center fielder dropping the ball because the sun gets in his eyes could inspire a message about how man in his blindness has missed the mark. And when a brand new building goes up after a strong foundation is laid, you might say that there are a lot of chapel addresses in there somewhere. But most of the messages I will share with you this summer will come from experiences that I had this summer, God willing. And the first one that I experienced was with my family on our summer vacation. We went out east back in June, and one of the things we did was we drove up to the top of Mount Washington, up in New Hampshire. Now, to those of you that hail from out west, and the Cascade Mountains, and the Rocky Mountains, and the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Mount Washington will be little more than just a foothill. But to those out east, the peak named after our first president is the highest point east of the Mississippi, so it's a big deal. But what's really cool about it is you can actually drive all the way up to the top. The problem is the road is full of perils on both sides. It very often you're precariously close to the edge. Especially when you get above the tree line, you get the feeling that one slip up by the driver will send you on a one-way ticket straight down the steep side of the mountain. Now, when I was driving this on this trip, I realized how nervous my passengers were. Because every time I would remark about this or that or point at something, they'd all go, "Just watch the road!" Yeah, they were pretty white-knuckled about it the whole time. But it wasn't easy for them because they were helpless. They were just sitting in a seat, buckled up. But it was a lot easier for me because I had other things on my mind rather than falling off a mountainside. I had to check the monitor, monitor the temperature gauge, make sure the engine wasn't working too hard, and playing with the transmission, make sure I was in the right gear and that kind of thing. And on the way down, I turned my attention to the brakes, kept the window open so I could sniff the air in case the brakes were overheating, and I had to pull over a couple times, give them a break, so to speak. But what's really remarkable about the road, besides the obvious steepness and sharp switchbacks, is the fact that there are no guardrails on Mount Washington. Not a single one. The road is too narrow for guardrails. It's barely wide enough for there to be a road. And it made me think, you know, there's probably a chapel talk in here somewhere. And the message is, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to heaven. We're all on our own personal road. And on this road, this narrow road of life, one slip up leads to hell. And that's the hard truth about our sins, what they really do to us. One slip up leads to hell. And there are no guardrails to keep us on the road. You know, and I think if there were guardrails, so to speak, we as humans would just find our way to slip under them, or to jump over them, or to connive our way around them, or to carelessly, out of control, crash right through them. No, we need more than guardrails. We need something more. And Jesus provides that. Instead of putting up guardrails, He simply has us move over so He can take over the driver's seat. And because without Him, we would go astray and we would fall by the wayside. In this age of media blitz, we are surrounded by bad advice. There are plenty of people out there trying to tell us exactly what we need and how easy it is to get it. And then we get it, and then we find out that their product is more sham than wow. But at least it only costs you $19.95 plus shipping and handling to find out you made another mistake. But what about, in a more serious note, what about those that are selling us spiritual advice that is contrary to the truth? Are we good at avoiding them? Or do we wander off life's narrow road? Are we willing to allow Christ to do the driving? So who's the driving force in your life? Is it you? Is it Jesus? Is it the world? Is it Satan? Perhaps a combination? Does it depend sometimes? Yes, narrow is the road that leads to heaven. But if our driver is Jesus, our destination certainly is heaven. It's imperative, therefore, for you to remain in the vehicle with Him and to stay close to Him and study His Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's an old hymn that uses a slightly different picture. Instead of Jesus as your driver of a car, so to speak, Jesus is the captain of your boat. And here stands a one of that hymn verse. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. In Deuteronomy, we find another picture, the picture of frontlets. You shall teach them, and when I say them, the Bible is talking about the words and commands of our God. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, frontlets today are called blinders, and they're used on racehorses to prevent them from being spooked or distracted on either side during the race. They run much better if their gaze is fixed straight ahead on their road, on their path. Even workhorses plow a better line when wearing blinders. Now, you're not a horse, of course, but the concept is a good one. Keep your field of vision straight ahead. And in a spiritual sense, if you try to cut corners, you'll do damage to your soul. Much like cutting corners on the path up in front of the academic center will damage the newly laid sod that hasn't had a chance to stabilize yet. We are wearing the grass out. But in a spiritual sense, doing damage to your soul is even much more serious. So fix your gaze on that narrow road that lies before you, and don't be distracted from what's on your right and what's on your left. And above all, let Jesus guide you all this school year. Let Jesus be your guide. It's okay. He knows the way. He is the way. And let's sing about it in these two stanzas on the screen.